Actually, I'm sharing on something different than I had intended. But, you know, I want God to have his way. And so I got something different from 2 Chronicles. It's long, but I think it's good to read it all. That way we don't have to keep bouncing back when I'm sharing the verses. Some of them I'll read when I'm preaching. Jehoshaphat was afraid and turned his attention to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord. They even came from all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, O Lord, the God of our fathers, are you not in the heavens? And are you not ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in your hand, so that no one can stand against you. Did you not, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and give it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? They have lived in it and have built you a sanctuary there for your name, saying, should evil come upon us, the sword, judgment, pestilence, famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry to you in our distress, and you will hear and deliver us. Now behold, the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you did not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, they turned aside and did not destroy them. See how they are rewarding us by coming to drive us out from your possession, which you have given us as an inheritance. O God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are on you. And all Judah was standing before the Lord with their infants, wives, and children. Then in the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, son of Benaniah, son of Jeel, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite of the sons of Asaph. And he said, listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the valley, in front of the wilderness. You need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves, stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out to face them, for the Lord is with you. Jehoshaphat bowed his head, face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. The Levites, from the sons of the Kohathites and the sons of Korites, stood up to praise the God of Israel with a very loud voice. They rose early in the morning, went out to the wilderness of Tekoa, and when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord, your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets and succeed. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire, And as they went out before the army and said, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting." When they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah. So they were routed. Now, I encourage you to read and study this, because it has relevance to the things that you and I are facing, and how God is already and is going to as well move on our behalf and on your behalf. So during the week, meditate on the scripture. Now the background here, we're not going there, I'm just going to quote it. 2 Chronicles 18 is a good example, the previous two chapters here, of not seeking or listening to the Lord very seriously or desperately. And the result was King Ahab, the king of Israel, lost his life in the battle. And Jehoshaphat cried out to the Lord, and the Lord had mercy, and he brought him to safety. So we see in 2 Chronicles 19 that King Jehoshaphat had learned from his experience, and he instituted reforms in the nation, in Judah. And so that brings us to 2 Chronicles 20, which provides an opportunity for Jehoshaphat to show how he will respond to a desperate situation. And we have to question, how do we respond when we don't have the answer? When we're facing a mountain, like Rich was talking about with his son, Michael, do we try to figure it out? Do we call a doctor? Do we call for advice? Or is our first resort the Lord? I'm serious now. You need to think about this. I'm not saying it's wrong to consult with your pastor or a professional, but what I'm saying is, are we desperate enough to go to the Lord and believe that he's going to not only hear our cry, but answer our cry? How do you respond when you need answers? When you realize you are inadequate to solve a problem or a situation? And so the title is Getting Desperate. And you know, if I'm honest with you, I'm not desperate enough for the Lord. And that's one thing that was revealed in me in this fast. And God is urging me to make some changes. I'm serious. I don't think any of us are truly as desperate for him as we should be. And that's not a condemning word. Hear me. It's a word of exhortation or encouragement to press in and really get a hold of his garment. Amen? And so, you know, we sing these songs, and we sang one of them this morning, didn't we, Roger? You know, you're all I need, you're all I ever wanted. But what happens when the heat is on? Do we go to him? Do we cry to him? Or do we try to use this to figure it out first? And then, if we can't figure it out, then we ask the Lord. Huh? Am I talking to people who are real? We've got to stop that. We've got to stop it. He deserves our full attention and honor and respect. That's what getting desperate is all about. So What does it mean to be desperate? Having lost hope, suffering from extreme need or anxiety, or extreme intensity, despair. And the psalmist was coming unglued, and he reveals his condition in Psalm 42:11. But he gets a hold of himself and he says, "Wait a minute. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God." You know, that's a good time to talk to yourself. Other times, you know, you got to wonder, right? When people talk to themselves. But when you're talking good, and when you're talking truth, that's the good time to be talking to yourself. And, you know, the Psalm 43 quotes those same verses. And the title of these two psalms is Thirsting for God in Trouble, Psalm 42. That's the headline in my Bible. And Psalm 43 says, Prayer for Deliverance. And so it's talking about desperation. And what do we do? How do we respond? Do we really, you know, we say we trust the Lord, but do we really? Desperate times and desperate situations require desperate responses. And so if we look at this passage, I whittled it down to five. Of course, there's always more, but I chose five. And we see that they pray and they seek the Lord. You have to understand, there was a multitude. It wasn't just like, oh, you know, 1-to-1. It was probably like 10-to-1 soldiers. You understand the gravity of what they were facing? I mean, there wasn't a prayer in the natural of them winning the battle. And so it's like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? And so, as I said, Jehoshaphat learned something from his previous mistake. And you know, that's really the key. God doesn't want us to keep repeating the same mistakes. He doesn't want us to continue to relate the way we once did. He wants a constant process of getting closer and closer to him. And I don't mind saying, I have a long way to go. And I think many of us have a long way to go to really get close to the heart of God. But we can get there. And so it says there in verse 3, he turned his attention to seek the Lord. And so Jehoshaphat did it personally, but then we find that he challenged the nation. And that's kind of the spirit of this 21-day fast. It's not for the pastor. It's not for the elder team. It's for everyone to take part and get involved, because we need some answers, both personally and as a church. We're all right. You know, we're not going to close up the door or anything like that. But we need some answers going forward. That's just being bluntly honest. And so he personally sought and inquired. And here's the thing. Over the years, these many years, and I pastored two other churches, on occasion people come to me and say, "Pastor, will you pray for me?" I've seen this now. As if my prayers are more powerful than theirs. As if getting through to God is going to be more easy for myself. And of course, I graciously say yes, but what I want to say is, well, have you prayed? Have you gone to God yourself? Because that is the process for every single believer. It's not wrong to involve somebody else in your need and asking for prayer, but it is, I believe, shaky when you're not willing to seek the Lord yourself and you want somebody else to go to the Lord on your behalf. But we see here that there was a corporate commitment, if you want to say it that way, because they were desperate. But I would say to you, we don't have to get so desperate before we go to the Lord with stuff. He's quite happy with the little things and when calamity is not about to strike. He's all about relationship. And so we don't want to fall into the habit of only calling upon the Lord when we're backed into a corner and there's nowhere else we can go. So, Lord, I'm coming to you. Are you hearing it? We can all be guilty of this. So we all need to inquire, seek, and pray for our own needs and for our own selves. Psalm 34:4. The psalmist says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. And that is the number one enemy when the heat is on. Instead of faith, fear wants to take over and dictate what you say, how you say it, what you do, and when you do it. He delivered me from all my fears. That's desperation, my friends. It's talking about being desperate and the Lord coming through. So if we look at verse 4 in our text, Chronicles 20, it says, so Judah, the whole tribe, the whole nation, sought God's help, sought the Lord. And so there is a time to involve others, but there is a time to gather with one another. And so that's what I want you to hear about. You know, this isn't, you know, a test of the will, this 21-day fast. If that's all it is, we're wasting our time. It's a test to see if we're willing to come together as a people, as a body of believers. And then see what God will do. Here's a quote from John Bunyan. You can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. Are you hearing it? It's kind of tricky. The words are there. You can do more than pray after you've prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you've prayed. Prayer is a major offensive weapon of tearing down things, opposition, strongholds, mountains, however you want to describe it. They will fall at the name of Jesus when you get serious and desperate enough. So we need to make prayer our first response, not our last resort. That's the way the Lord said it to me. Our first response, not our last resort. Secondly, the King Jehoshaphat called a fast. He proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah, verse 3. So he fasted as well. He wasn't asking them to do something he wasn't going to do himself. And he called the people not just to prayer, not just the prayer intercessors to pray. You see? He called everybody to pray. And he prayed as well. So, what is the priority of this 21-day fast? I mean, what is it? Why are we even doing it? To see who can last the longest? To see who's the most spiritual? No, of course not. The first priority are the needs and future direction of our church. Number one. Then, following that, your family, your spouse, your children, and then your personal needs. That's, at least that's the way I look at it. And you can take issue with that, but that is the heart of what we're doing. And that's why we need everyone to participate to some degree. Many times, both in the Old and the New Testament, when either an individual fasted or a group or nation fasted, God responded with supernatural provision or miracles, but not necessarily during the fast. That's what I want to highlight. And so, pay attention, because God's not done. Even if you don't have your answer after the 21st day, you may have it on the 22nd day. Or sometime thereafter. And I encourage you to look at and study Joel chapter 2, verse 28, Daniel chapter 10, Matthew 6, verse 33, Acts 9, verse 7 to 9. Those are examples of fasting and the results coming from the fast. Now, some of you have this book by Jensen Franklin on fasting. I happen to know that because you were given it by us as a Christmas present. And I hope you're digging in. But he says this in his book on page 43. Fasting prepares the way for God to give you fresh revelation, fresh vision, and clear purpose. That's three very powerful things that can come out of a fast. And so, you need to consider including fasting with prayer in your life in order to get clear direction and God's wisdom in life's challenges and decisions. And what I've thought about it, I've thought about it myself a number of times, but I just haven't done it. And what has happened during this fast is like God opened my eyes to see how important it is. And so now I'm going to work it into my regular prayer life. I'm hoping maybe one day a week or something along those lines. It's physically, it's healthy, first of all. But secondly, it reaps, shall we say, benefits that are out of this world. So, but the key I want to stress here is pure motivation. You're not doing it to lose weight. You're not doing it to prove how spiritual you are. You're doing it to prove how good God is and how faithful God is. Getting desperate is essential for victory. Not just here with Jehoshaphat, but you know, you and I have areas in our life we need victory. And fasting is one way to put it over the top. Again, you have to use discretion. I'm not suggesting you do this, that, or the other. I'm just saying consider it. Number three in this passage in 2 Chronicles 20 is praise and worship. And, you know, I think sometimes we think praise only happens when we listen to a CD or when the worship team is up there and we're entering in. That is praise and worship, but what I see here with Jehoshaphat is he's giving God the glory for his help in the past. That's praise as well. And he has expectation because of who God is that he will respond in time of need. And so he says in verse 9, "Thou wilt hear and deliver us." That's pretty definitive. You know, that's putting it out there. That's putting yourself on the line. And I think we need to do that more often and put God to the test, especially if God's challenging you. I was talking to somebody who's not going to share about what they're getting in the fast, but You know, God can sometimes, what he says for you to do, it sounds foolish. It sounds ridiculous. Lord, why are you asking me to do this? Huh? Don't let this process what God is saying. Let your spirit receive what God is saying, and then obey. Don't worry about what are people going to think, what are people going to say. What's he going to say if you don't do what he asks you to do? How's he going to feel? Thou wilt hear and deliver us. Psalms 9, verses 9 and 10, a stronghold. The Lord also will be a stronghold for the oppressed, or the desperate, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. That's his track record, period. He doesn't forsake us. Hebrews 4:16. To find grace to help in time of need. Psalms 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's there, but are we desperate enough to turn and find him in our mess? I think I was talking to you, Roger, that God makes a message out of our mess. Was I saying that? He delights in making a message or a testimony out of your mess. And so from the text, quoting here, verse 18, Jehoshaphat and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord and worshiped. Verse 19, the Levites stood up to praise the Lord with a very loud voice. Verse 22, and when they began singing and praising, The Lord set ambushes, and so the enemy was routed. Oh my goodness, when will we ever learn? When will we learn that he is far more capable of fighting our battles? He doesn't want us to. He wants us to get desperate enough to ask him for help. So we need to understand and use praise and worship not only as a gateway to his presence. That's wonderful when we feel overcome. We feel the Lord's presence. That's marvelous. And it's a mystery. But to unlock and release his power when we need it in a timely manner. Always on time, always on schedule. And sometimes we need to give a sacrifice of praise, like that's what I was saying this morning. You know, sometimes we just have to be honest with the Lord. I have nothing. I haven't got it, Lord. I can't work it up. I don't feel like praising. Music, not doing a thing for me. But we sing that song, Yes, I Will. And in that song, it says, I choose to praise. I choose. Not based on feeling. It's not based on whether I want to or I don't want to. It's based on he deserves it. He deserves it all the time. Number four. Arise and speak in faith. Verse 15, 17, and 20. The prophet Jahaziel in verse 15 says, do not fear or be dismayed. The battle is not yours, but the Lord's. Let him do it. Let him do it. Why do we have such a problem with that? Why do we want to do it? We're going to fail anyway. We're going to be disappointed. The battle is the Lord's, and the victory is ours. That's Bible truth. Verse 17, the prophet says, stand and see the salvation of the Lord, for the Lord is with you. And then the king says, verse 20, put your trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets, not in the man, but in the word that he delivers. Because the prophet is God's mouthpiece. Put your trust in his prophets, and succeed. We always have a choice when faced with the impossible, or when it's a desperate situation. We can allow ourselves to be paralyzed by fear or energized by faith. It's up to us. The choice is ours. 1 John 5:4, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. So we need to choose faith, and that will open the way for us to be victorious. God wants us to get desperate enough so that we will see how faithful he is. We know it mentally. You know, we know it, we read it, we sing it, but he wants us to experience it. And so that's what we do. We practice it by faith. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path or make it straight. And number five, These are not necessarily in order of importance. Unity. From verse 4 and verse 13 in 2 Chronicles 20. Unity with the Lord first, and then unity with one another. For our purposes, with our spouse, with our friends, with our family, and with our church. To be in unity. Verse 4. All Judah gathered together to seek help, to seek the Lord. And so this is not an easy thing. It's not easy to get two people together, never mind a multitude of people. Don't you see it? Everybody came together. They recognized the desperation, and they responded, they rallied. And they came together in unity in this situation. United in heart, spirit, and purpose. Verse 13, all Judah was standing before the Lord with their infants, their wives, and their children. I don't know about you, but that is a recipe for disaster. Can you imagine? The wife and the kids. Come on, let's be real. It could be a commotion, but I don't believe it was, because I believe the Spirit of God just, even in the Old Testament setting, because they were coming together in unity. They were standing before the Lord. Their answer and their expectation of deliverance was through him and him alone. Desperate situations require a response of unity. And so there's a few scriptures here. We're not going to touch them all. Philippians 2:2 talks about being united in spirit. Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. And that is so important for us as a church, especially right now, I believe. We're at a point where God wants to speak, and he is going to speak, and we're going to have to respond. And we're going to have to respond in unity. Very, very crucial during this hour. Other scriptures to study here for you. John 17:23, Ephesians chapter 4, Colossians 3, verse 14. So we need to first find unity with the Lord. And of course we know the scripture in John, they may be one as we are one, the Father and Jesus. So unity with the Lord first, and then with one another. Getting desperate is a good and necessary thing if you and I are going to get closer to the heart of God. So commit to stay the course during this prayer and fasting, and you will receive fresh revelation, vision, and clear purpose. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you all for digging out, shoveling out.